came on time. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to, I don't know what number we're up to now, but tonight we start a new topic, and it's not only a new topic, but it's maybe new to a lot of people as far as the halacha is altogether, and that is the topic of chadash and yashan. It's really the same topic. Chadash means new, yashan, as you know, means old. New and old what? So if you look in your Chumash, you want to get a Chumash? I don't know if you want to, you don't have to, but it's in the Art Scroll, which is obviously the source for everything. I said Art Scroll. That's how the world, you know, subsists. It's on page 684. Page 684. You might be familiar with this laning. For this parsha, it's the Yontif laning, or one of the Yontif lanings. In Parsha Samor, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalad, which will be 5 lines from the top. Start a little, So the Torah is discussing something that a lot of people aren't familiar with, or are familiar with for the wrong reason. It's the right reason, and that is that on the second day of Pesach, we in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and hopefully soon, brought the Korban Omer. The Korban Omer was a certain amount of barley, and it was brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Now, it's very interesting, I don't want to get into it that much, but the Korban Omer was a source of conflict between the Tzdukim and the Prushim, the good guys, and the Tzdukim, the not-so-good guys. As you know, the Tzdukim took the Torah literally. And if you look a few Psukim down, see where the gap is, a couple lines down from where we are going to start. There's a little gap, and then the Torah says, "Usafartem lachem mimacharas ha-shabbas, miyom aviyachem esomer ha-tnufa," and you should count, starting from the day after the Shabbos, Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, Miyom Aviyachem Es Omer HaTzufah, from the day that you bring the Omer, the waved Omer, that's referring to what we are about to refer to, the Omer offering. So the Torah says you count from when you bring the Omer offering. So you bring the Omer offering, and on that day you start counting. This is what we call Sfiras HaOmer, right? A lot of people don't know this. Sfira, everybody knows me, or people just say Sfira, means counting. And you all know we count from the second day of Pesach till Shavuos, right? But people don't realize that it's Sfiras HaOmer, the second part. Omer means from the day we brought the Korban Omer. Now the Torah says that you have to bring the Omer Mimachras HaShabbos, on the day after Shabbos. So the Tzdukim took the Torah literally, and they contended that Svira and the bringing of the Omer was always on Sunday. Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. We don't go that way. Mimachras HaShabbos, we say, means the day after Shabbos. Doesn't mean Shabbos Saturday, Friday night Saturday. Shabbos is also Yontif. Did you ever wonder that on Yontif, we say the same Pesukei de Zimra, the longer Pesukei de Zimra, as we do on Shabbos? And one of the things that we say in that Pesukei de Zimra is Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos. Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, let's say Pesach this year will be on Sunday. Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, it's not Shabbos, it's Sunday. Answer is, when you think about it, Yontif is also Shabbos. What does Shabbos mean? Shabbos means to rest. Or, in other words, to refrain from doing certain activities. Yontif also. We're not allowed to do malacha. We're allowed to cook and we're allowed to carry, but those are the two exceptions. The rule is you're not allowed to do malacha, right? You can't use a computer on Yontif. So Yontif is also a Shabbos. So we, our Masorah, the Torah Shabbal Peh, is that you bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, day after the Shabbos. So this was a really strong bone of contention between the Tzedukim and the Prushim. But again, I don't want to get into that much. We're talking about the Korban Omer itself. So again, on the why am I closing that? On the second day of Pesach, on the second day of Pesach, they brought the Korban Omer. As I said before, it is, and that's what is discussed in the Psukim before. There we go. Excuse me. Here we go. So if you look at the top line, it says, Ve'inif es ha'omer l'fini Hashem l'ratzon l'chaim mimacharas ha'shamas, like I said before, in the Fe'al Kohen, that the they would wave this barley offering in front of Hashem, mimacharas ha'shamas, on the day after Shabbos, again, second day of Pesach, in the Fe'al Kohen, the Kohen would wave it. Vasisem be'yaman nifcham es ha'omer, and then you bring korbanos along with the omer. Keves tavim shnas olola la'Hashem. And you brought a mincha, and an Esech. Then the Torah says something very interesting in Pasuk Yudala, and that's what we're up to. That's what I want to focus in. The Torah says, Velechem v'chali v'charmel. And lechem means bread, toasted kernels, and pumped up kernels. Lo sochlu, you're not allowed to eat. Ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this day. Ad aviyachem es korban alokeichem. Until you bring this korban. You can't eat, basically, saying, any grains. Torah says this is a chok forever in all your inhabitants, anywhere you live. Okay? So what does this mean? So what this means is that on the second day of Pesach we had a korban, again called the korban omer, which was barley. It was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and when that korban was brought, the new grain, what we call chadash, the new grain, was now permissible. From that point on, now obviously that's going to be the topic for tonight, what does this mean? The new grain was permissible. So in other words, any grain that was grown, we'll explain from when to when, later. So then that grain you couldn't eat until the Korban Omer was brought. Once the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, all that grain's okay. So basically, the halacha is that any, and we'll talk about this later, it's not based upon harvesting or anything like that, but anything that took root before the bringing of the Omer. So basically, a lot of times we hold that either you have to know that it took root, or a few days before Pesach. So if I planted something, or some type of grain, we'll talk about what type of grain later, and it took root. So it could be it hasn't even sprouted yet. But let's say I know that it took root. Farmers know that. So if it took root, and then maybe months later it grew and I harvested it, since it took root before Pesach, so then when that Korban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach, eventually, when I harvest that grain is old. It's yashan. That's the cutoff point. It has to take root before the bringing of the Korban Omer. If it took root before the bringing of the Korban Omer, so then whenever that grain is harvested, so then that grain is yashan. You can eat it right away. If, however, something was planted, or took root after the bringing of the Omer, so then, whenever you harvest it, you cannot eat that grain until the next Pesach, until the second day of Pesach, when the Korban Omer is brought. Now, I know what you're going to ask. There's no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, now. So what do we do? So obviously the Mishnah discusses this and says that the Rabbanan, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, said the whole second day of Pesach, the grain is still prohibited. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they knew exactly when the Korban Omer was brought. So let's say it was brought at 11 o'clock in the morning. So at 11:01, the marketplaces were full of grain. They knew exactly when the Korban Omer was brought, and then all the new grain is okay, and there was a glut, if you want to call that, of new grain. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. So Chazal made the entire second day of Pesach prohibited. In other words, the second day of Pesach, you still cannot eat the new grain. And then on the third day of Pesach, then all of that grain is okay. You're allowed to eat that grain.
You can't eat grain on Pesach.
No, you could. What do you think matzah is?
Okay. So the matzah could have been made.
We'll get into that. Or it's from last year's grain. Right? Or it's from last year's grain. Now, to differentiate between this and other things we learned, like remember, if you remember carne leche, milcha con fleishik, if you have a mixture of milcha con fleishik, you're not even allowed to derive benefit from it. You can't give it to Fido. Right? But you're allowed to get hana. You're allowed to derive benefit from chadash. Now again, chadash is what's no good, right? It's the new grain. Yashan is good. Okay? Now hopefully already you understand that old does not mean it's necessarily old, right? It's not rancid and everything like that, right? It's not necessarily, it's just a halachic term that we're using. That divine line, did this grain that I'm eating, what did it take root before the Omer was brought? Now we're saying it's not only when the Omer was brought, it's when the Omer hypothetically would be brought if we'd be zocha to a Beis HaMikdash. And that's the way we've been working for the last, unfortunately, 2,000 years. Now, you're allowed to derive benefit, but you're not allowed to consume anything, grain or grain product. That is chadash, that's from new grain. There's a difference of opinion about drinking something that's made out of chadash. Now, the classic example is beer. Beer has grain in it. Schnapps also. I'm not a big whiskey connoisseur, but right, it's grain alcohol. Now, you're going to say, but what's grain? So you probably remember from previous shurim, we have a, talk about this Pesach time also, that we have a way to remember this. And it is the five famous grains. In other words, this halacha applies to any of the five famous grains. What are the five famous grains? The way to remember it is browse, right? Barley, rye, not rice, rye, R-Y-E, barley, rye, oat, wheat, spelt. Any of those five grains. Those are the five grains that we're going to be concerned with when Pesach, right? Any of these five grains mixed with water and left sitting for 18 minutes, and then that's a challenge, right? Or a problem, like you said. So now, any of those five grains have this halacha of whether did it pass over, or did it not? Is it new or is it old? Is it new or is it old? Now there's a whole discussion about utensils. The Beis Lachem Yehuda says that, let's say somebody keeps yashan and somebody doesn't, you could still use their pots. So that's less of an issue. Now, as I said before, it goes by hashrasha. The basic line of demarcation goes by when did this grain, any of these five grains, when did it take root? Not when it was harvested. When did it take root? If it took root, like I said before, hypothetically, a few days before Pesach, I have nothing to do, so I go plant some spelt in my backyard. So I don't know how long it takes spelt to grow, but whenever it eventually grows, and I harvest it, you could mill that and refine it, use the flour right away. That's yashan. If, however, I planted it or it didn't take root until after Pesach or after the second day of Pesach, then it's chadash, it's new, and you can't use it. So that should sound like it's the whole story, right? But obviously it's not.
I didn't understand what the Rav said earlier about the third day of Pesach. What would that
mean? In other words, because if we had the Beis HaMikdash, so at some time on the second day of Pesach, we would know exactly, especially communication being the way it is, right? Don't forget, in Eretz Yisrael, second day of Pesach is just Chol HaMoed. I shouldn't say just. It's Chol HaMoed. So, So they had a, they, everybody knew exactly when the Korban Omer was brought. Right? So let's say they brought the Korban Omer at 11 o'clock on the second day of Pesach. So at 11:01, you can eat the new grain. Yeah, but what do we do now? We don't have any Korban Omer. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. So the Mishnah says, so what they did, you know, Rav Gamliel, said the whole day, the whole second day is out. You can't eat the new grain the whole second day. Third day of Pesach, now, even though we don't have a Korban Omer, even though there's no Korban Omer, unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, but then on the third day, you can start eating the new grain. It's the day that allows the new grain. Okay, is that a little clearer?
Was that, did the, is the, that Mishnah also take into account that it's Chutz Aretz?
Okay, very good. Excellent. So that seems to be the whole story, right? So it would be a very short shiur. So, there, but there's two questions. There's two questions. Does this halacha apply, as Mrs. Shanker just said, outside Eretz Yisrael? And then there's a second question. Second question is, does it apply to grain owned and grown by a non-Jew? Those are the two questions. And that's basically what's going to take up the rest of the time. Those two questions. Okay, so let's attack the first question first. Does this halacha of Chadash and Yashan does apply outside Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laretz? So there's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Orla that says that the halachas of Chadash and Yashan do apply in Chutz Laretz. There's a Mishnah in Orla that says that way. There's just one problem. This is like classic Torah Shabbat Pat, right? The only other problem is there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, Mesachus Kiddushin, which says it's Machlokas. So it's a Machlokas. Rebbe Lezer says that Chadash and Yashan does apply in Chutz Laretz, and the Chachamim say it does not apply in Chutz Laretz. So now we got a problem, right? It's a contradiction between Mishnayos. One Mishnah says everybody agrees it's Osir, and the other Mishnah says it's Machlokas. So what gives? So, right, this is classic. Differing Mishnayos, apparently. So what you need a Gemara to explain it. So Gemara comes in Menachos and says, no, that everyone agrees that grain, that Chadash and Yashan does apply in Chutz Laretz, that anything new is Asur. There's no argument about it. So what's going on in Kiddushin? Why is there a Machlokas? The Machlokas is whether the grain grown in Chutz Laretz is Chadash and Yashan, is that a prohibition from the Torah or not? That's the question. The Mishnah in Kiddushin is the argument between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim about whether it is mutter from the Torah. Everybody agrees it's Asur. But the question is it mutter from the Torah and Asur, quote unquote, only Midrabanan, or it's Asur from the Torah? That's the question. So, that's a how do we paskin as a machlokas? The Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, and others say paskin like Rav Elazar, which means, if you've been keeping track, which means that Rav Elazar holds that grain of Chutz Laretz is prohibited from the Torah, Chadash and Yashan, Chadash, I should say. And this is the way, believe it or not, the Shulchan Aruch goes. The Shulchan Aruch paskins the way like the Rif of the Rosh and the Rambam, which is like a pretty good bet. So again, so this means, based upon what we're saying, that grain grown in Chutz Laretz is a Torah prohibition. Torah prohibition. Okay. So that doesn't help us too much. I mean, it's nice to know, but it doesn't help us that much. So let's go to the second question. So how about grain of a non-Jew? Let's try that avenue. So now there's a famous Bach. And the Bach says that grain of a non-Jew is not restricted. It does not have the halachas of Chadash and Yashan. Oh, so now we're talking. And the Bach says the reason why is if you recall, when we looked at it, it talks about the Torah says, uvekutzrechem, when you harvest your grain. So Bach says it means a Jew. Doesn't mean non-Jews. So therefore, the Bach holds that there's no problem with Chalash and Yashan if the grain was grown by a non-Jew. Now this is huge. And there's a lot of stories about this. One of the most famous one is that the Baal Shem Tov, evidently, they say, many say, praised the Bach and acted in accordance to the Bach. And this is why you see it's very interesting that Hasidim are usually not so big on this stuff of Chalash and Yashan. Very interesting. You know, like, even the frumest of the frum, Chassid, you know, Chalash and Yashan is like not on the radar screen too much. Now, the issue with that is that the Bach says it, and that's a legitimate point. But the problem is that many Achronim disagree with the Bach, like the Shach and the Vilna Gaon and others strongly disagree with the Bach. But at least we got the Bach so far. And the Baal Shem Tov. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan also quotes, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Or Zarua. Or Zarua is one of the earlier halachic savers, svarim, I should say. And the Or Zarua says that since the grain of Chutz La'aretz, he says the grain of in Chutz La'aretz, since there's an argument, we saw it in the Mishnah, whether it's from the Torah or not, and since it's a shas l'chak, like sometimes people, it's a pressing situation, people need grain, so therefore the Or Zarua says we can rely, even though most people don't go this way, we can rely upon the opinions in the Mishnah to say it's rabbinical. And you all know, if you have a doubt in something that's derabbanon, we go leniently. So in other words, we go like this. This is a second avenue. In other words, we can maybe say, the Or Zarua says, that's all derabbanon. And when I have a sack of flour, I have a sack of flour, I don't know, you know, maybe it was from last year, maybe it's from this year, I don't know. So if you have a doubt in a derabbanon, so the rule of sack is that we go leniently. So this could be another avenue. So first we have the Bach and the Baal Shem Tov. The other avenue is, the Aruch HaShulchan says, the Or Zarua, that since maybe we could say it's all derabbanon, which is not prevailing opinion, but maybe. And like the Rabbanon in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. And then, I don't know when this grain is from, when it was born, so to speak. So therefore, it's a doubt in the Rabbanon, we could go leniently. Now, you have to realize that this is not so simple. Because, as you know, I don't want to say the problem, because the Bach was a great person. And the only problem with it is the Vilna Gaon very stridently disagrees with the Bach. And second of all, the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Bir HaLacha, and I'll just translate you in English, although we are not able to protest against the world that is lenient with Chadash, as the Achronim have written, nevertheless, it is proper and correct to be stringent with oneself in this regard. For according to many great Rishonim, it is from the Torah. We saw that before. And those are, he quotes the Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Smag, the Itter, the Mordechai. So one problem we have is to go like the Bach, the Vilna Gaon, and the Chofetz Chaim, shoot that down. The problem with the Or Zarua is modern technology. And I don't want to say technology, but that is that if you look at a sack of flour, you basically do know when it was processed. We do know. It's stamped on there. You know, like you have a pretty good idea when it came into being. So the two avenues we just said really, I don't want to say they're not there, but it's a little more tenuous. The Bach, many later Achronim disagree with him. So like I said, Hasidim are not so concerned with that because Baal Shem Tov, which is, you know, a way to go. And as far as there is a ruah, the whole thing is based upon it. It's a doubt. I don't know when this grain is from. You know, I just got to, you know, in Lithuania or Poland or wherever you're from, you know, you got a sack of flour. So, you know, well, I don't know. But, you know, today, you know, it's stamped on there. Yeah.
I'm not sure how the stamp cancels what the Orz Ruah says
because
it's telling you when it's processed now.
Right.
You know,
it's but it's not going to, right. But you can, you a lot of times you have a code on there. That's what we have today. And you know, or the plant could tell you, you could call the company and they could tell you, basically. See, I'll hold off on that because we're going to sort of like get into that point in a second.
What about a year like this year where Pesach is...
Oh, very good. Well, hold off on that too. We'll get to that also.
I'm getting there. Okay.
Okay, so the reason why a lot of people are lenient today is based upon a tshuva of Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva about 35 years ago. And Rav Moshe wrote, and this is 100% true, it's not like one of these, you know, like you, but Rav Moshe wrote that since America, Kanai Nahar, produces so much grain, which it does, we even have it in one of our patriotic songs, Amber Waves of Grain. So, therefore, you can assume, you have the right to assume that by the time you get whatever it is, one of those five types of grain, flour or whatever, excuse me, you can assume that it's already passed over a Passover. And therefore is Yashan. It's a very famous tshuva Ramosha. And I would dare say, I think that is the reason why most people lean. Ramosha had a tshuva like that. Black and white. There's two questions. So then the question is, so what's the problem? Yes.
Did you say that over what Ramosha said? Because that sounds contradictory. It sounds like because America produces so much grain,
so by the time it gets to you,
a Pesach,
that's right.
It would be the opposite. Because it produces so much grain, it could
there's
been
a backlog.
Processed very quickly.
No. In other words, it's like our freeways. By the time you get there, you might not get there. Right, it's in silos for a while. By the time it's processed, because they have a backlog. Right?
Because they wait to sell it till the best price, so they don't have to sell it the day that they picked it, which means that...
Right, it's not like orange juice or whatever. No, you look,
we don't
you, know. She doesn't like that. Doesn't seem to... I don't see the light going on. No, it's like, you know, they're just backlogged. In other words, like...
You see, like, Kol V'Chomer doesn't sit around very much because they make it so much.
No. They just can't process it quickly enough.
So they have these giant bins all over the country.
You're right. They're like,
the
what? You always... Once in a while you hear them explode... hear about one of them exploding.
Yeah.
One of the grain elevators. I mean, they're supposed to be huge. Like, 30 stories tall or something like that. They're supposed to be, like, monstrous. We only have one person from the Midwest here, so I'd like won't blame you for everything. Okay, now there's and that's it, right? That you know, the Rav Moshe said so. So the question again is so good. So why is there this whole thing about Chadash and Yashan? So the answer is that there's two issues. There's two issues. Issue number one is when Rav Moshe wrote that. That was before détente. All of you are too young to remember that. But especially you, Mr. Kump. That is, America, amongst their other things, is they figured out that one way, I don't know if it really works, but it's a good svara, but I don't know if it works in practicality. And that is, they realized that this is one of our strengths. In other words, because we produce so much, if we could export, or forget export, if we could just give away to countries that are disadvantaged, grain and supplies and food, they'll all of a sudden like us. So now, evidently, it doesn't work that way. We give them food and we give them everything and they still hate us. Right? So I don't know, that's just like Kasha. But it's 100% true. America gives out, I don't know what, there's no number, I think. It's like the Torah describes Mitzrayim in the time of Yosef. It's impossible to imagine how much tonnage of wheat and food and supply, besides blankets and all that type of stuff. But I'm saying food, grain.